Okay. I always get worried that I'm going to forget the wine.
Crux of the show.
Right. I know.
Hey, Jessica, let's get to those wines.
Sipping on Trondheim while belting a Bordeaux, pairing the best wine and picking the next show. Here Broadway guests end up acting like loons. This you can find here on Cadence and Tunes. When Ben Brandy cries, when the vine dies, whether June's or moon's, I simply turn to my favorite days, and they are a day.
Welcome to Tannins and Tunes. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jimmy. Hi, friends. Hi, Mom.
Hi, friends. Hi, Moms. This is exciting.
This is so exciting.
We're, like, back in our element.
We've been gone for a while. Yeah. Ooh, yes.
Sit into it a little bit.
I'm just going to chill for a second. Yeah. Ooh, I'm going to just rifle through all of Peter's stuff.
Yes.
Like I usually do.
Go through that medicine cabinet.
Baby. Ooh. Is this baby aspirin? I'll take it. Thank you.
Jimmy, how's your week been?
It's been great until, like, right up until just before.
I thought you were going to say until right now.
No. Right before right now.
Okay, what happened?
I spilled mustard on my shirt.
Oh, Jimmy.
Okay, I'm so glad nobody noticed this until I pointed it out.
Jimmy's mom. This is a disaster.
Mom, I'm a disaster. It looks like I threw up on myself, but like a baby throw up, right? Just like a little bit, just like a bleh, 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 you know?
Just tell people you have a baby.
Do I look like I have a baby? I am a baby.
That's what I tell people when I look really tired. I'm like, I have a baby.
I have a child.
I don't, but I tell people that. That's the reason that I'm tired.
Just get off of me.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry you spilled mustard on
your shirt. No, I mean, it's on me. I've been through this, like, weird trend right now where I, like, have no time to get food, so I decided to get hot dogs from hot dog carts.
Yes.
From street vendors.
Ooh, do you have a favorite?
A favorite hot dog vendor?
Yeah.
It kind of sucks because it's a little bit establishment, but, like, Nathan's is...
Okay, this is good to know. I mean,
yeah, especially Nathan's on that Columbus Circle, 59th.
Yeah, okay, but not the, it's with the S, the Sabrettes.
Sabrettes?
Isn't that the other, like, hot dog cart?
Oh, because it's usually just, like, to my mind, there's Nathan's, and then there's just, like...
The carts.
Nameless
carts.
Nameless hot dog carts.
Next time, look and see if I'm right.
Okay, I definitely will.
Yeah.
How was your week?
It was great. Yeah. I had a really nice brunch today, and I feel like that's such a New York thing
that we take for granted.
Of like, oh, I'm just going to brunch. Like, in what other city do you just say, like, oh, I'm going to brunch, and I'm going to have unlimited mimosas, and then not worry about how I'm going to get home?
Ugh.
True.
Right? Yeah, that's true. What I tell people. Again, friends, listen, I bartend on Broadway, and I'm always like, do you want a large? And they're just like, I don't know. I was like, you're here for 2.5 hours. You're not driving, like, guzzle
right.
that.
Right. Yeah. Enjoy.
Enjoy. Because they usually think, I was like, oh, well, I gotta portion myself because I got to get behind a wheel or something.
And then you're like, that'll be $45, please.
I was in Gainesville, Florida once, and we did a brunch, and it was like, oh, that was great. Oh, no. I have to drive.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Exactly.
And that was
all
before, like, Lyft and Uber and all that stuff.
I think I just didn't think about it.
Yeah, right.
I drove there.
Well, exactly. Then you're like, what am I going to do with my car? Like, I'm stuck. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. No, it's a whole thing.
I always forget about Lyft and Uber because in New York, you don't have to think about them.
Yeah. It's like, honestly, it's like a luxury. It's like, it's at the end of the night, and you're like, oh, I'm so beyond wanting to get on the subway at this point or walk. Like, oh, I'll just take an Uber 10 block.
I'll probably do that right now, a block from here to my home.
It's hot enough right now.
Right?
I wouldn't be surprised. Okay, friends and moms and listeners.
And moms, we've already gotten a preview.
We already have. He is the playwright of the off-Broadway show Puffs. This is Matt Cox. Hi.
Hello.
Okay, Matt, give us the full title of Puffs, because it is very long.
It's a long title. It's called Puffs.
Puffs, or 7 increasingly eventful years at a certain school of magic and magic.
I love it.
I hate it.
Oh, this is going to be a fun episode. awesome.
Because I think everyone knows that there's no longer Star Trek versus Star Wars. It's Star Wars versus Harry Potter.
That's true.
And I am a staunch Star Wars kid.
This will be really, really fun, Jimmy. I'm glad that you brought this up at the beginning.
I had to be true to myself. Okay. All right.
You're being your authentic self, I appreciate that.
I am being
that.
Hashtag authentic right
oh
now.
Oh, my God.
If I had to pick between the two, I would pick Star Wars.
Okay. First question.
No, don't get it started. Question.
Okay, so.
No.
Okay, Batu in Disneyland, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Not the show.
No, I'll save her for Pixel Flex.
There you go.
No, my first question then. Yeah. I actually do have a legitimate question.
Okay, you have
question.
A legitimate question.
If
great.
You are so into this instead of the other thing, what prompted Puffs?
Well, I grew up. Puffs, yeah. So Puffs, if you don't know, is the story of a certain famous boy wizard at a certain famous magic school for 7 years during the 1990s.
Can I also, I need to also cut in and ask a semi-question.
Yes.
Because you're so good at not saying it. Uh-huh. How long has this been and how long have you not said it?
Yeah.
It's a he who must not be named.
Yes, we have our very own, many of those who must not be named. we've been doing the show since 2015. Gosh, November of 2015. We did the first reading of it in June of 2015. So 3 years. We just had our 500th show off Broadway.
Back in July,
and
right?
Literally today we had our show, we had a production of it running in Melbourne, Australia.
What?
That just closed today.
Wow.
Which I've been following because they're 14 hours, in the future. I've been following their Sunday all day. And be like, oh, how sad. We've been running for a very long time, and we have a very specific way of talking about it, so I apologize if you don't know what I'm talking about.
We know. No. We all know what I'm talking about.
And if you don't, moms.
Moms?
Yes.
Just right. Go watch. Come back.
Go watch.
Yeah. And then you'll know what we're talking about.
Turn on the Sci-Fi channel right now. I'm
or,
sure.
It's playing.
Or ABC Family.
ABC Family. The
no, not anymore.
No, Sci-Fi bought it, right?
No, because, Turner. Turner bought
that's
it.
That's right.
For like 7 years.
HBO doesn't even have it.
Yeah,
nope,
that's right.
Not anymore.
That's right.
Which is a shame.
Crazy.
And by those, of course, I mean the Paddington films.
Yeah. They're good. They're very
good. They're wonderful. Yes. We're all kind of obsessed with them, actually. But a tangent. It's a story of this boy wizard, but it's not his story. It's the story of the Puffs, the other kids there who are just, trying to have a time at wizard school. And so I grew up, though, a very much a fan of the other series, because we're of that age that was, grew up right alongside that boy wizard. And so it was very, important to me growing up. But then after the books finished, it was like, oh, yeah, that was great. And it was a very important time in my life that I kind of forgot about for a while. And then I was sitting on a train one day and was kind of thinking of, fun ideas for a follow-up that we did of this other play at the People's Improv Theater called Kapowie Go-Go, which was a 4.5-hour long sci-fi cartoon adventure.
Speaking to Jimmy's soul right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I already know this came from the pit.
I was
I am in. And then you mentioned a 4.5-hour cartoon?
Yeah, it was a good time. It was split into 9 episodes, and it was a... Is as if it was like a...
Wait, trip. It wasn't 4.5 hours?
It was continuously when we did it. But so it
you
was.
You people had to shit no, fit for 4.5
people,
hours?
People in the audience, but we took little 3-minute breaks every half hour.
Okay,
people
good.
Really liked it. It was a good time. But it started as a children's show. It became a teenager show, and then it became a gritty, dark show.
Yes.
It was a good time. We'll do it again one day.
When people are prepared. Yes.
Yeah. Newer?
I love that.
Do you need a space?
If you have a lot of time.
Do you have a lot of time and a space? All right.
I've always loved the Wizard series growing up. And I was idea seemed too good of an idea to pass up when I had it. And then I was just shocked that no one else had done it.
Right? Oh, my gosh. I actually feel that way sometimes about this show and other things I'm involved in. I'm I just feel I'm the first person doing this rather than it being great.
Yeah,
I'm just the first one.
Right.
Not saying that Puffs isn't great because it is. But tell me a little bit about what brought you to New York, because you grew up like me in Dallas, Texas.
The DFW area.
Yes.
Yeah.
Guys, we literally went to high school, like, down the street from each other.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I hate this.
Crazy.
Oh, you guys like the wizarding competition of three places? I'm trying like so hard to not say things.
Yeah, I feel like the high school I went to, Saxe High School, was so new that we didn't have any like connection to your high school.
No, my high school is like the oldest high school known to man, and it also hasn't been like certain parts of it have not been renovated since like the WPA built a gym for us. Like, serious. It's so nuts. I mean, it really is like a piece of history, and we are in the middle of downtown, so we can't expand. And then they got this beautiful, huge new school with, like, where you could actually walk down the hallways and not touch another person next to you. I just got the New York experience early.
I played a lot of basketball at Garland High School.
Yeah.
In middle school.
Well, because that's the only people that can fit in the gym middle schoolers.
You played basketball and also read.
I stopped at some point. Yeah. One of the things took over a little bit more, which was the reading.
I was like, okay.
So what made you leave Texas?
Oh, yeah. So I, in 2011, I got into the Stella Adler Studio of Acting in New York, just for like a summer program thing, which I later, it was great. It was one of those things I learned, oh yeah, there's a lot of people get into this. I mean, it was great though, it was like legitimately a really wonderful thing. And I learned a lot there. So I moved here for that, and then after, you know, the, like 3 months, I was like, I guess I'll stay here.
Right.
And then I did. And then I was mostly just an actor for many, many years. And I was working at a comic book store in Times Square, Midtown Comics.
Yeah!
I worked there for 5 years.
Yeah! Hi, Scott! That's my Midtown Comics downtown.
Downtown. I know, I didn't. I only went there a few times. But, yeah, and then eventually I was an actor for a while, though, at the Flea Theater, which is this downtown theater. And they did this little thing called Serials at the Flea, which is this competition of, it's like five plays. You rehearse them for like 2 days. You perform them 3 nights in a row, and the audience votes, and then the ones with the 3 most amount of votes come back. And I really loved it, and then one time my Our Little Group didn't have a writer, and so I went, I guess I'll do it, because I had written a lot of, like, sketch stuff. And I had wanted to dabble in that, and I wrote this, like, Game of Thrones thing called Kings of Crowns. And it went for, like, 8 weeks, and it was really exciting. It went for nine weeks. People really liked it. And then I followed that up with Kapowie Go-Go, which became the show that we ran at the Pit, and then Puffs Up. So,
wow.
And then all of a sudden, I stopped acting and became a writer. And so that's my life.
All
now.
From, like, wow. I guess me.
Sure.
I love it. Let's get into some wines.
Let's get into some wines.
Okay.
Can we call them wines? I don't feel if we can say any name of anything.
I like to call them red drinks.
Can we get him some red drinks?
Yeah, we can. I'm going to let you pour while
absolutely.
I talk about. We're going to start with the red.
Let's start with the red, okay.
Yeah. So this is, let me grab my notes.
Oh,
here.
I need to grab it. Okay.
Yep, sorry. Got to get my notes. So this is a Senso from Swartland, South Africa. I am a huge Senso fan. I think some of our listeners know because I bring it on the podcast a lot. But this one is special because it is it comes from this area that's been growing it since the 1880s, which is really, really cool. And the winemaker is super into natural winemaking. So this is whole cluster pressed, which means that they take the clusters off of the vines and then just put it in and press it.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah, that whole cluster.
Yeah. Oh, that's a trend for you.
It is. I know. I do love a whole cluster.
I know that you'll never have this happen. I want you to bring on a wine that you, like, detest. Or
yes.
like a wine that is just like, or maybe I can find a wine that's like none of the things that you said. You know, the things that you enjoy and be like, you're going to enjoy this one. Oh, that's mine. Okay.
Okay.
Bye. I got to go.
Crazy. What I really thought about this with Puffs is that the winemakers describe it, what did they say, as lively and luminous.
Uh-oh.
Apropos.
Right? And I was like, what better words to describe a wine or Puffs? So let's go ahead and smell this.
Okay. Ooh. Ooh,
yeah, this is like,
very
this
nice.
Is so good.
This is so good. This is so complex. This is like a little bit like that Shrek wine.
A little bit, yeah. It has like a little bit of like stank on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like in the best way possible.
In the best way possible.
Oh, smells good.
Right? That,
I
like,
did the same thing when I first started.
It's like that mushroomy quality to it, but then there's also like some cedar and super floral and fruity.
Right, I'm getting like rock.
Are you getting wet rock?
I don't know if it's a wet rock. I don't know. I don't know if it's a wet or dry rock.
Finally, we've been waiting for this moment for so long.
Oh, so good. It's because of this podcast that like these types of wines, these like mushroomy, like stanky wines, I'm like enamored with.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like...
They're so good.
Well, and speaking to that, like, bringing in something that I wouldn't necessarily enjoy, I think it's because I've fallen in love with the complexity and the depth of wines like this. And you can really tell that the winemaker has put so much thought and effort into making the wine. Not that the mass-produced wines don't have thought and effort that go into them, but they are being produced for commercial reason and for mass markets, and this is made for smaller markets, smaller yields. You're just putting, in my opinion, you're putting more effort into a wine like this than Woodbridge. Like, I'm just gonna say it.
Well, take that, Woodbridge.
Take that, Woodbridge.
Like, you know, you put a lot of effort into a show at the Pit. You know, a 45-minute show. People fucking like. I've done it before. I've only, like, produced variety shows there, you know? I didn't have to write anything, but still I'm just, like, slaving, just like, Pitt, can I have a spot?
That's how we started.
Do I need people?
And then we were supposed to be a 90-minute show, but we were always 100 minutes, and I apologize to anyone who ever came after us.
Always.
Because we threw off the schedule literally every time.
Every night the schedule is thrown off. The only person that gets to start on time is the one that starts the evening.
At, like, 6.
At, like, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, and I usually have it's a variety show, so it's like the Carol Burnett show. It's like there's singers in it, and the singers have not met their accompanist, so they want to
and not
like,
practiced.
And not, this one's done it. And they're like they want to go over it, but I'm like, great, you have 5 minutes to go over 3 songs. Go.
Yep, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So this is you have warm fermentation and warm maceration, which is a little bit different from the wines that we've talked about in the past, because usually with wines you want to keep them cold.
Okay, I was just about to ask. It's like, why is the temperature different?
Yeah, because I think that that's what's giving it the mushroomy quality, because the grape itself doesn't have that quality, but because they're letting it ferment in a warm environment rather than a cooler one, and they are aged in oak barrels for about 9 months.
I can smell the oak.
Yeah, the oak is definitely in the smell. Let's go ahead and taste it.
Okay.
Ooh, it's tart.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's
tastes good.
It's good. It's good. Oh, yeah, really that writer's wit right there.
I know words.
I put them on paper, and here we are. To me, it seems like there's less to the taste than to the smell.
I would agree that the smell is a little bit misleading, because you don't get that stank. You don't get that mushroomy quality, that rock quality.
No, it's there's
you don't,
no
you
wet
don't
rock.
Get it. And no,
it's
no
smoother. What, it's very smooth.
It's very smooth. I am getting a lot of raspberry and cranberry and red cherries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
And the acid is pretty present too.
Yeah. You're getting like the red berries on the finish.
Mm-hmm.
It's like smooth, a little tart, and then
it has a long finish. Really long finish.
I stand by my words.
Yes. Well, one of the ways that they describe it, because they're from South Africa, is they use the word smashable.
No.
They do. And I
don't think they should do that anymore.
Honestly.
I don't think that they know what it means.
I'd smash this wine.
Oh, yeah.
I'd
take this wine for a nice dinner, take it back to my apartment, and just get to business. Oh, yeah, we would smash. I would swipe right.
I fell in love with their marketing, with lively and luminous and smashable. I was like, yes, you are describing this wine.
Guys, also, can we talk about for a second? This just made me think of this. Smash, the TV show, came before that term became a thing.
Right.
That like section. Oh, but I wish it happened before. That would have been a completely different show.
That would have been, yep. Okay, so Matt, let's get, as we're sipping on this wine, let's get back to you. Ooh, and hi. Everything. So you have been doing some special events, like when Cursed Child came out and when Fantastic Beasts came out.
We did a few little things, completely unrelated.
Yeah, right.
For no apparent reason.
We have some little spinoffs to Puffs. One is called 19 Years Later, or There and Back Again, A Puff's Tale, Parts 1 and 3, which kind of caught up with some of our Puff's characters, 19 and more years later. It was all about the mishaps of time travel and what they do to one of our characters, which was a lot of fun. And then we also did Dude, Where's My Fantastic Beast, or 20, I don't even remember the long title. This is a long, long, long title. It's like, or 20.
We've got time.
25 short films about magic New York in 1926 and the time a puff came for a quick visit and the disaster that followed. Film 1 of 5. And funny enough, we actually are doing one more in two days. I was literally working on this script before we came here. I came here. Which is exciting, which is actually, it's not even based off of any, like, pre-existing other wizard-related material.
I don't
material,
want it then.
You know?
I don't want it then.
And it's weird, it's very far, like, up its own ego because of that.
Wait, is it a parody of a parody? Is it a,
it's
is
sort
it
of the
a parody
idea
of Puffs?
Well, I've had this wine now.
It's more
following, and this is not, I love that things keep coming out for a particular series, and I love
even
the series, and
about...
I love that everyone gets to love their series, series, and it's very important to a lot of people. Puffs 3, Eventfulness Maximus, as it is called, is kind of playing with the idea, though, that if things continue to exist for too long and, like, keep coming up with new ideas, they will become a little too crazy. And that's what it's about. So it ends up being like an end of the world scenario and things like that.
God.
I love it.
And then it ends up just being like a lot of callbacks to the other plays, which is going to be really interesting to see how, if anybody in the audience even knows what we're talking about, because these have only existed as like readings like 5 times.
Right.
So again, it's just really far up
its
own ego.
It's for the fans.
Yeah, it's for the fans.
I was going to ask, where do you present these other ones?
We did the very first one we ever did, which was 19 Years Later, we did as a celebration of our last show at the Pit in August of 2016, happened to coincide with the week that a certain script was released, a certain script book. And so it was like, oh, it'd be fun to, you know, play around with that a little bit. And then that was a success. And then whenever in like the off-Broadway community, we moved to the Electra Theater that next couple months. And the thing, there's some very slow months, particularly the beginning of the year. And one way that our producers had an idea of, in order to, you know, like, incentivize people to come see the show, was to do these readings, or wizard nights, as we called them, after select performances. So we started doing the readings after that, and that's where the Fantastic Beasts one came about. So we started doing them. We did them at the Pit at first, then we did them at the Electra, and then we did them at New World Stages.
Are you doing
them? We did a few of them at New World Stages, but this last one that we're doing upcoming is we're going back to the Pit.
Nice.
Just to do one last, like, little celebration of the thing. And we're kind of doing it because some of the original cast, two members of the original cast finally left back in May. I say finally, but, like, finally because it's been 3 years,
right,
which is a long time to be in a
course.
Show. And then three more are leaving on Sunday, Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Sundays, I don't remember. Three, like, major people have been with the show since the beginning. So this is kind of just like a, hey, thanks for being in the show.
Thanks for being
here,
Well, and you got to film the show for Fathom Events.
Yeah,
that's
was a thing.
Crazy.
Oh my goodness!
We did like a fully filmed, professional quality version of the show.
Right.
We filmed that in February of this year, and it was released in May through Fathom Events. It was just 2 screenings. We're still trying to figure out. We're figuring out how to do a wider release of the film itself, because right now it's only available to the people who Kickstarted it, because they're the only people that matter.
Yeah.
No, not really. A lot of people really want it. So we're figuring that out. That should be coming
money.
Very soon. Yeah, that should be coming very soon, though, like a version of it on the internet.
Awesome.
And that was very fun. It was very exciting. It was weird because for the screening days, I was actually, that was our first week of rehearsal in Australia, so I didn't get to see it. I still actually haven't watched the whole thing.
Wow!
Other than like a pre-version of it, I gave when we were watching it to like get it assembled. But
so how often do you watch every night? Or do you?
I don't watch the show anymore. I really haven't watched the show in New York since. Not because I don't love it, but because, you know, you see this thing for a while. So when we finally moved after New World Stages, I watched the first few, and I was like, you know what, I think I'll check in every once, I'll chime in every once in a while just to see, because there's a few parts of the show. There's one, like, majorly improvised part that an actor just can do whatever he wants every night, so I'll go watch that. And there's another little sequence of lines of our special villain in the play, you know, someone who else may not be named.
Uh-huh.
He has like 9 variants of another line that he has that I wrote out for him, and I've been adding them every once in a while. And so I'll go and watch those because I think they're really funny. But otherwise, I really don't watch the show anymore. Melbourne was the first time that I had watched it in a really long time. And so I obviously still love it, but it is just like after a point, you know, I love the thing.
But
let you go out there and do it.
When you wrote it initially, you didn't like write a Lin-Manuel Miranda part for yourself?
Once upon a time, I thought I was going to be in it, but then it became obvious that it would be better to take a step back. And I ended up actually, I designed the sound for it,
mm-hmm.
along with a buddy of mine named Brian Hose, who also went to Saxe High School, who did all the music. But the show ended up having a ridiculous amount of sound cues in it when we started the pit, there just wasn't time. And we did our first performance without finishing teching the show.
Love it.
That
feels right.
Yeah, and so because of that, I was like, I guess I'll just run the sound. And so I sat on this little perch that's at the pit up there above the audience. It was like our very first show. We didn't think anyone would come in, and then it was sold out, and then it was like, oh, God. People are going to hate it. Yeah.
The pit proper, right?
Yeah.
Wait, what? Pit proper? Instead of, like, the pit loft or...
No, yeah, the pit, the Stryker Theater. At the pit.
Yeah, ooh.
And so I ended up, though, running the sound for, like, months of the show at the pit until we went and did a version of the University of Florida, which is where we developed some of the off-Broadway ideas, and that was when I finally had to teach our original person to how to run the sound. So I watched every single show for a really long time.
Right. What do you look for? I mean, I understand that you're not exactly casting the show, but, like, what do you look for in new cast members for Puffs?
Our biggest criteria, and I actually still sit in all the auditions, at least lately. Yeah. And I cast other than one person, I cast, like, the entire original. It was just friends who were like, hey, you want to be in this thing?
Right.
We'll do 5 shows. Got 560 shows later.
And they're like, I need to review my contract.
our biggest thing is we try to see if they are a Puff, essentially, like their personality-wise.
Right.
Just because, and you can find out a lot about someone just from, like, it's the amount of, like, care and attention to detail they'll put into something.
Yeah.
And not everyone is, like, fully a Puff, but it's that little, it's a line in the show, but, like, everyone has a Puffness to them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And however much of that shines through.
Yeah.
We'll ask people what, like, house they are usually in the auditions if we really enjoy them. But no, and we look for that. And then
they
just
don't get to choose the hat chooses, all right? Unless you tell them.
Unless you ask.
The hat. That was the best part about it. It was like the hat chooses unless you're like really need it.
No, but and then it's just like, it's always looking, and this is what I always look for if people that I'm like putting in something. There's like I love a certain amount of playfulness with like what it is. And just like, I don't know, just doing some fun things with what you're presented, kind of. That's what I love the most.
Totally. Do you have an improv background besides just like doing it here and there?
When I first moved here as well, aside from acting, I did all the classes in the UCB, and
okay,
I was on
cool.
a couple of like, indie teams for a while.
Yeah.
So what I thought I was going to do with my life for a bit until I learned that,
that
that's
you can
really
write.
Hard.
It's really hard.
You can write all the words.
Yeah. So I did a bunch of. It's actually funny because I did a bunch of like little indie shows at the pit with Nick Carrillo and Langston Belton, who ended up being in Puffs eventually. And I remember watching them in a show. And one day, one of them came into Midtown Comics when I was working. I was like, "Oh, hey, I did a thing. You're really funny." He was like, "Oh, thanks." And then like years later, like 2 years later, I'd be like, "Do you remember that?" He went, "I do." I was like, "Oh, cool, thanks." And I'm glad. It's really funny. And they funny enough, they ended up the two of them very specifically, because most of the other people in the original version of the show were Flea friends. They're people who we were all back together. and but Langston and Nick were around. They did an improv set when we first started doing Kapowie Go Go at the Pit. We'd do a 30-minute chunk of the show, and then an improv team would perform between the episodes, and they were on a team that performed every time between it. And so then it was like, oh, and then one of them ended up being in Kapowie eventually. And so then it was like, oh, yeah, so you can always end up becoming in something that you're around.
Just make friends. Yeah. You'll get in something.
If you're nice to people.
Right,
if you're nice to people, they like to give you things.
Right. Yeah,
that's exactly how I came here.
We just have to do many more versions of Cats together.
We just have, if that's what you want, okay, fine.
Never again.
Never again. Never. Just drink this one. This is what, you know how like sometimes you're like, why am I doing a thing? And then like you look back on it and you're like, it led me to this or it led me to that, blah, 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 blah. Cats led me to drinking wine.
Yes.
Because I worked at this comic book store that I've mentioned for 5 years, which is a long time to work at a comic book store.
No.
I mean, it's a perfectly wonderful job. I actually had a great time there. But it was like the Kapowie, which is the first thing I wrote that like people paid attention to. Uh-huh. I came up with at that store while I was shocked, like stocking books one day. I was like, oh, I want to have someone to play with this stuff.
Oh my goodness, I want to read this so bad. I also want to, are they terrible? Are the people at Midtown, are they just like,
I had a great time.
Not the employees.
You mean the customers.
The customers.
It is a mixed bag. Oh boy. I could go on and on about this. Some of the people are great. It's a surprise.
I don't want any more Jon Stewart in my Hal Jordan comic
There's a few people who are like, it was a lot of people who just walk in and be like, who'd win in a fight? And like, I don't care.
Paid for this.
People who'd ask you to wash your hands before you touch the books and be like, okay.
Some people still think that like comic books like are worth something.
And it's very rare that
will
that happens.
Or deteriorate with the oils in your hands.
Yeah.
You
know? Although there is a book that came out when I worked there that I remember being like, I'm going to buy a couple copies of this just in case. And it was Saga number one.
Yeah, fuck
the greatest comic book of all time.
Have you read the most recent one? Fuck!
Yeah.
I'm mad.
I'm also like, I had to put it down at a Potbellies that I was reading it at and like just sat there and stewed for a second. But then, you know what? It makes me love the book even more though.
Saga is not a thing that you read outside of your apartment.
Oh, it's not at all, especially with some of the sexy pictures.
Sexy pictures.
I stopped doing that because I remember sitting next to an old lady once and it was like, ooh, there's two robots having sexual intercourse.
Do you like that?
Uh-oh.
There's a baby crying on his face.
Yeah. But the first issue of that now is worth like hundreds of dollars. And I remember one of the other employees being like, don't buy that. It won't be worth anything. And I had like 10 of them and that would have been thousands of dollars. So I only have one. And I'm still holding on to
it.
Good
keep holding on.
Yeah.
Who knows when you're going to need that money.
But yeah, it was a mixed bag.
That's what I keep saying.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Like, Puff seems to be like a thing that nobody's interested in.
But that's what
in.
I keep exactly. saying about, like, those Beanie Babies that I keep in my mom's house. Like, who knows, right? That's why they're still there, Mom.
Guys, welcome to Hoarders 2024. We're meeting Jessica Humphrey. She has too many Beanie Babies.
They're fine.
You need to get rid of them.
Here's how I get around the whole hoarders thing is I just keep things in different people's houses. So, like, it doesn't look like I'm a hoarder because I don't have
smart.
It in one place.
Uh-huh.
So that's what's going to be on the show in 2024. So...
Now that we've got some wine in us, we're gonna play games right now.
Wow.
That was interesting.
That was
adding some flair.
Yeah. Again, I'm still being like, should I try for harmony? Should I try for harmony? Don't try for harmony.
No. I think we learned our lesson on the harmony.
Did we ever do? No, it was that first. It was when we were doing Wine Time.
Oh,
Remember Wine Time, that terrible song? That terrible song that we wrote? Yeah.
Yeah. Notice how we don't sing
we
that song
don't
anymore.
Sing that. Now it's just like, let's have some wine.
Yeah. So as we finish this wine, here we go.
Very nice. Are we getting into the other wine?
We'll get to the other wine, and then we'll play a game. So maybe I got us a little early, but...
And now that we've got some wine in us, we're going to get some more wine in us right now.
Ooh.
That's it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I thought about harmonizing, but I didn't.
You should have. You were ready.
There you go. So,
Ooh.
Yeah, another screw top. Guys, I'm really classy. So this also is from the same area in South Africa, Swartland. And this is a Chenin Blanc Viognier blend. Oh, and I forgot to say the title of the last one. I actually just realized that.
Did you?
I didn't because I can't pronounce it. Oh. I always have a problem pronouncing things. So this is the Mount Abora Saffron Senso is the one that we tried earlier, the 2016 vintage.
The Aurora Borealis, the Mount Abora?
Uh-huh, that one. And this is the, it's LAM, which stands for Lamershook. And it is their Chenin Blanc Viognier blend.
It has a beautiful cover of like an old timey like Parisian cafe.
Yeah.
Right.
I see that. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So it's 50% Viognier, 50% Chenin Blanc. There's no oak contact with this one.
Good.
Right? Get that oak out of there.
No, I think no. I want some
get
oak.
Get it out of there.
Here's the one thing that I have to say about Star Wars.
Oh, great.
That my one criticism, not enough oak.
Yeah, oh,
there's
yeah.
not
oh,
enough
really?
Wood product.
See, I love it just because of how little oak there is.
It's dance. Mm. Mm.
Mm. Yeah, you gotta read. You have to read the EU expanded books to get all the oak.
Nope. They're legends now. They're not,
you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. All those clouds, there's oak and all the legends.
What's interesting about this wine is it's actually vegan.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, so wine isn't vegan?
Wine is not vegan.
How is wine not vegan?
Because...
What is vegan? What is food? What is wine? What is life?
Basically, when the wines are being filtered, sometimes they are filtered through egg whites.
Oh.
And so wines can't be considered vegan unless they don't use egg whites.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why? Why are they filtered through egg whites?
Because it just catches all of the particles a little bit better than like a regular sifter would.
Okay.
Because when you're dealing with liquids, sometimes
I guess
that's
so.
Difficult. Right. So this is a vegan wine, ooh. 100% organic certified grapes.
It looks also like it could be zero waste because you can recycle that bottle.
Oh. Recycle that bottle. That.
There's all these things floating inside of it because it wasn't filtered to the
air. Right. Right. So if you get some grit in there.
So there's food. There you go. You pair it nice with itself. It pairs well with itself.
The other cool thing about the grapes is that they're actually not irrigated.
What?
Yeah. So it's dry farmed.
What does that mean?
It means that there
I'm learning
is...
learning warm temperature,
right?
Dry farm.
Warm maceration, some dry farming.
You look never at all want these to macerate words. Warmly. Sorry, Mom.
I'm going to get a call from your mom on
yeah,
that one.
Yeah, absolutely.
oh, but again, 100% whole cluster pressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you didn't...
Dry farming. So basically, you know when you go to California and you see the little sprinklers that are done through the vineyards?
Yeah.
Or like on the vines.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have that. It doesn't have an irrigation system that's set up. It just relies on the weather.
Yeah, it should not do that if you're in California.
No. And maybe not in South Africa, but they do it, and we're going to see how it tastes.
Okay.
But it's 43-year-old vines. So let's go ahead and smell.
Whoa.
Yeah.
This is nothing I've ever smelled before in a white wine.
So
I don't know.
It's grown on this big bank of granite rock, so I think we're getting a lot of minerality on the nose.
Yeah, okay.
So the other thing about it is that they kind of treated it like a Chardonnay in that they didn't use oak barrels for the fermentation or the aging, but they used the malolactic fermentation.
Oh, okay.
Which is usually done with Chardonnay, which gives it that, like, buttery quality and that, like, heftiness to it.
But this is not buttery at all.
No, it's not. But it's gone through the fermentation style that's going to give it that weight and that heft.
Yeah, okay.
Let's go ahead and sip it. Mmm. Now you get the butteriness.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is definitely just like the last wine in which the smell is not the taste.
Right. Yeah. It's not what you think it is.
It's not what
like
you think
puffs.
It is. Like puffs. Like puffs. Yeah.
Welcome to Tannins and Tunes.
Welcome to Tannins and Tunes. Wow. We pair wine with musicals.
And shows.
And shows.
Shows. just shows plural.
No. Sorry.
No, it's fine. A lot of people think Puffs is a musical. It's very
really?
Funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and they come in and they're
because
like...
because the central, like, the idea seems like it would be a musical. It's
yeah.
like uh-huh. parodies, and I use that in quotations because we like to not call it that even though that is what it is technically. But because we're very much more a play and yeah. like with, you know, feelings and sadness. Right. But I think people
so
tend
you
to...
guys are an teenage emo...
sort of. I mean, it's like the...
Yeah,
we
yeah.
exist, it's got
oh, yeah, feelings and sadness.
There's a death.
It's a silly little play that also has some, like, existential thoughts about life and death.
Yeah.
yeah.
And fairness.
Meaning, and, like, yeah. yeah.
This play wants his father to hug him some more.
But, no, people just, I think, I just this day I just assume it's funny. Like, we'll get a question every once in a while, like, on Facebook. It's just like, can we get the cast recording? We're like, there's...
Yes.
There's not. There's not
I will
while.
Record myself saying the entire script.
There's one dance in the show.
Can we? Is it a dream ballet?
No.
Thank goodness.
Yeah,
I hate
know.
Dream ballet.
Yeah.
He does.
I fucking hate
yeah,
him.
He does. He does. So let's move on to our game, which does involve musicals.
Ooh.
Because I can't leave the fans hanging.
Okay.
With no talk of musicals.
I do like this, though. We're opening it up.
Yes. We got to expand.
We got to expand. I can't wait for an... I can't wait for the next show, which is Iceman Cometh with an ice wine.
Yes. Well, Denzel's coming.
Nice. Denzel yeah. Edmondson, friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. Yes, that one. So I have come up with a list of musicals that were written based on children's books.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So I will give you... I'm going to start...
I mean, technically, it's like an all-ages book. It's like, it's not a child... Like, what we're talking about is not technically a children's book. I mean, if you think, like, who would win in a fight? Superman or who can not be named? Okay.
Sir, I'd say it depends on who's writing.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, who would win in a fight? Tom King's Batman or Grant Morrison's Batman?
Grant Morrison's Batman.
Fuck, yeah.
He would have weird feelings about it.
Yeah.
Be a lot of drug tripping. I love Grant Morrison's Batman. Everyone out there, take a look at Grant Morrison's Batman. But
do not
take a note. So I will give you. I'm going to start harder and work my way to easier songs.
What?
From okay. these shows,
oh,
and
okay.
you have to tell me what show it's from.
Great.
Okay. So this first one is pretty easy. One Short Day.
It's Wicked, right?
Yeah,
all
that's
right.
it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That honestly, no, that's not a children's book.
No, it's not.
In the prelude,
it's not. Okay.
There is a guy yeah. with two penises.
Yeah, it does get a little graphic, I will say. That
and I'm
is
like,
true.
Why isn't that in the musical?
The rest of them
Show
are,
me the two penises.
The rest of them are children's books.
Okay, good.
The Moments of Happiness. Old Deuteronomy.
Cats.
I was about to say Skimbleshanks, a railway cat. That's who I was called you Peter. That's who Jimmy played.
That's fine. Ooh, I want to see Peter play Skimbleshanks so badly.
Yeah, well, he's long-limbed enough.
Yeah. They're making a movie, right?
Okay. Yeah. Who did?
What?
Who was it? I think they said that like Taylor Swift was gonna
it's
be
Taylor
in it.
Taylor Swift or Ariana Grande?
Wait, it's a movie.
It's yeah, going to be. Yeah.
And who are they gonna play?
Who knows?
I don't know.
I think they said that Taylor Swift was going to play the white cat.
Oh, what's her?
I was
yeah.
like, oh, the one that has to, like,
the
dance? That uh-huh. one?
I hope that it's, like, filmed like the Les Mis movie where it's just, like, really... I think it's the same director, actually.
Oh, it
and
is.
It's just,
it's
like,
Tom Hooper.
Tight close-ups and
yes.
dramatic.
Yeah. I hope
Who
that...
needs actual dancing and cats? We don't need to show it.
I hope that the Taylor Swift, instead of dancing, pulls out an acoustic guitar.
Ooh.
You know.
Well, I just hope she brings all of her
but
cats.
But they can't play it because of her paws.
Okay, here we go. I'd do anything as long as he...
Oh, I was just... But I won't do that. I was like,
yeah. As long as he needs me.
Is that Oliver?
Uh-huh. Mm. Consider yourself...
At home.
I had...
We're bad at that. I think you're very good at, like, not saying things in which you don't have to, like... You know, spend intellectual
yeah.
property rights. We're terrible
we're
at it.
We're just going to go all for it.
I said Star Wars 17 times already.
I think they're happy to hear you talk about Star Wars. The Oliver people, though, they're going to come after you.
They are. I know. I had a little girl that I was babysitting earlier this year, and she learned Consider Yourself for her school play or something. She practiced it every single day, all day long.
That's so cute.
It was adorable for the first 47 times.
Because sometimes I've babysat too, and sometimes kids are great, and sometimes kids want to push your buttons and push the boundaries, you know. So
kids
I like
being kids.
What's the matter with them today? But I am wondering, did you sometimes practice a song with you and be just consider yourself at home, except for you, consider yourself part of the family. Please go away.
That would have been better.
You're not my mom.
You know how she was pushing my buttons is that it was slightly off key. And it
intentionally?
Not intentionally, unfortunately. But it was like nails on a chalkboard. At the end of the day, I was like, we can't practice this anymore.
My relationship with Oliver is that these children. One of the other odd jobs I had in my life in New York City was I was a camp counselor at a musical theater summer camp for a summer. Oh, God.
Can you name it?
I don't think I should, actually, because they've gotten... There was some weird stuff about this school recently.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
But they, the kids, this was great. The musical theater part of it was fun. But they did Oliver, and I built their sets for them out of cardboard. Mm-hmm. I did not do a good job. I apologize for anyone who was there for it. It was not the right job for me, and I didn't learn that until a month into it. I went, why am I here? But I had a good time, and I think I was good. I taught the kids improv stuff, and they liked
there
that.
There you go.
But I've heard all of those Oliver songs sung by children for days. Something about it's the one where they sell stuff was the song that I liked a lot.
The Who Will Buy It's Wonderful. Yeah.
Wow, because that is not a popular song.
It's one I liked.
Except am a nerd. I don't know if you knew this.
I didn't.
I know all of the musicals. Okay, here we go. Yeah. Quiet. When I Grow Up.
Ding.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to give you...
No, I don't know.
It's Matilda.
Yeah. The other one that this child sang. Yep, that was it. Oliver and Matilda. So I got this one, too.
No, there's a theme of abuse.
Right. Okay, here we go. Winter's on the wing. Hold on. A bit of earth.
Secret Garden.
Yeah.
Children of Eden.
The Children of Eden.
That would have been a good guess, though.
Based on the children's book, the Bible. You know that kiddie fair? And then he was crucified on the cross. Good night. He bled.
I mean,
he had a crown full of thorns and just bled, just constantly.
I want to hear the axe of Paul.
God took everything away from Job, I will if you don't do your fucking homework.
I will say, so I grew up going to church basically every second of the day.
Yeah.
And there were no monsters under my bed. There were the Roman soldiers that crucified Jesus. That was my
Mom,
life.
The Roman soldiers are going to come and crucify me.
Go to bed.
Right? Go to bed. Nobody's here.
That's funny. That's disturbing. I apologize for you.
Good.
That explains a lot about my life. I'm in therapy.
Hi, Jessica's mom. Love you.
Hi, Mom. Distant Melody. Tender Shepherd.
Dang. I'm going to give him one more. I already know, but I'm going to give him one more.
I've Got a Crow.
I'm going to give him one more.
I'm Flying.
Peter Pan.
Oh,
yep.
Okay. Never been that attached to a musical version of it, really.
Good. It's so good.
It's three acts, which tells you it's going to be good.
It's three acts, and it's so misogynistic. And beautiful because it's played by a woman.
Oh,
because
played by me.
Played by played Jessica. By me. And Jessica's just like, I don't need anything. Women are dumb. Also, help me with everything that I need.
Yeah.
But it also has Wendy. Oh, my goodness.
It's
I fucking
weird.
Love that music.
It's a really weird relationship because Peter is played by a girl.
Yeah.
Because, like, Wendy is the mom, but also is, like, in love with Peter. Yeah. And, like, you as Peter are supposed to, it's weird. It's very complicated.
But they have this beautiful song.
Yeah. Well, Distant Melody is their duet, and it's gorgeous.
And it's also, like, where they, like, they realize that they can't be with each other. Yeah. Whatever they're doing, right, like, this fun thing that they're doing is coming to an end. But they're also, like, just singing a lullaby to...
But then at the end, Peter, like, comes and steals her daughter. It's like, you got old, but your daughter didn't.
Your daughter didn't.
It's weird.
That's weird.
What I love about Peter Pan, I stay the same age.
Yep.
They have daughters. Who eventually grow to that.
Small Umbrella in the Rain. I'd Be Delighted. Some Things Are Meant to Be. Astonishing.
One more.
Yeah, give me one more. It sounds familiar. That's it.
That's,
ooh.
That's, oh, that's it? Okay, yeah, it's Little Women.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Astonishing. Honestly, it's not astonishing, but it has to do with those, like, adjective titles for shows that make, mm-hmm. like, I was in college, and there's a song called...
You went to college?
I went to
college. Oh, good for you.
Congrats. We'll have a party.
I love it so much. And somebody sang the song that is titled Gorgeous. You know?
From the apple tree.
Right, from the apple tree. But it's because, it's like, okay, you have to do a patter song, and you have to do a belt song, and you have to do all the... And so she just went, hi, everybody. So tonight, my belt is gorgeous. And I'm just like, because
I really only know Little Women, the story from, actually, Kiara Atik has a great play called Women. That's like a mashup of Little Women and Girls.
Nice.
And I believe the stage rights are available.
Yes. Melbourne,
but that
you're done.
I know.
With.
There you go. that play though started as a serial, the same way that I got started writing. I mean, she was already a great playwright before that, but it was great. I highly recommend looking it up.
Yes, definitely. Okay. Yeah.
And that's the only reason I know the plot.
Whoa.
Hey.
You're like deep in like New York theater. That's super cool.
So deep.
So deep.
Okay, I have two more, and then we'll see where we're at. If You Believe, Be a Lion.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I got it.
Keep Home.
Mm-hmm. I'll give it to you. I'm going to let you.
Ease On Down the Road.
Oh, The Wiz.
The or the better Wizard of Oz.
Right.
Show. Like, The Puffs is the better whatchamacallit show.
Yes.
Yeah,
the
I'm
better
calling it
Mary Poppins.
Right.
Better than Mary Poppins. Oh, can you please write a Mary Poppins parody from the viewpoint of the penguin? Is he like...
Yes.
What am I doing here?
Done.
Okay.
Done.
Last one. River in the Rain. Leaving's not the only way to go.
The river runs through it? No.
You're right there.
It's called? The Huckleberry Finn one. The river, the...
Uh-huh.
The river is...
And what size is the river?
Big.
Yeah.
That's what it's called. The river is
no,
big river. I think it's called The River is Big.
Hi, welcome to The River is Big. Please silence your cell phones. Or The River is Big. Next, we're gonna say Dolly. Hello to you and greetings and salutations.
Like that, it was first though. The river runs through it. Like that's not it. That's definitely not it.
Isn't that like a drama?
Like a play? That's a poem. I feel like
the river.
No.
Maybe it's a verse from
the Robert Frost poem.
Isn't there a play?
The road less traveled.
The river less traveled, and I took the one that was very big. That was designated big.
Oh my goodness. Well, that was our game. I don't know who won. You both won.
Okay, cool. Great.
What do we win? More wine? Great.
More wine. Ooh. Always more wine. Matt, where can people find you on social media?
Oh, I'm bad at it, but you can find me on the Twitter at Matthew the Cox, MatthewTheCox. I'm on Instagram at CoxyLoxy,
both
with two X's. And that's it. Don't look me up anywhere else because those are for me.
Don't fucking look me up anywhere else.
And you can also find more information at mattcoxland.com.
Yes. And you have something that's coming up, right? You're working on a new show.
Our little same creative team who made Puffs, which is myself, Chris McCarthy Parker, who's a director, and Stephen Stout and Colin Waite, who are like creative producers, dramaturgs, and also our producers for Puffs off Broadway, which are Tilted Windmills, John Pickard, and David Carpenter. Names. We're working on another show that's sort of like it's a branching narrative play, like an interactive thing where the audience uses smartphones to like vote on which direction the play goes. So it's kind of like a video game where you make choices throughout that change the play. And so it's a like a comedic take on a revenge tragedy, but set as a Western.
Which revenge tragedy? Name it.
It's a play on kind of like just the concept of the.
Oh, I thought you were like.
No. It's like Hamlet, and it's using the template though that all those it's like a dumb show, ghosts and things like that. But it's all about like a girl in the Old West who, towards like the end of the Old West, is her brother shows up dead on her doorstep, and then eventually has a ghost, and she is told. Four names, and she's told to go and kill them to revenge him. But as the audience, kind of control the revenge aspect of it. It's sort of like a choose your own style thing, or it's sort of kind of like Oregon Trail-y at some points as well.
So Calamity Jane.
Calamity Jane. It should be really fun. It's like the script at the moment is like 450 pages long because of the sheer amount of potential. It's like a 2-hour show, so it's like a 6 hours of material that you'll only ever see a third of.
It's insane.
Yeah.
That's great.
The paces that you put your actors through.
Oh, I apologize.
Jimmy, where can people find you?
Oh, my goodness. They can find me trying to get a ticket for Puffs.
Right.
That's hard. You can also find me on Instagram at Jimmy Robertson and on Twitter at Jimmy_Robertson.
And you can
don't find me anywhere else.
And I forgot to say, the play is called The Magnificent Revengers.
Yes.
So that's the name to look out for.
Awesome.
I love it.
I can't wait to see it. I am all in. I am all in on that concept.
Great. Yeah. Do we get like superstar access to pushing? Because we know about it.
You'll get
extra votes.
Use the promo code. You must not be named at checkout. Jessica, where can people find you?
You can find me at JMHumphrey1 on Twitter and Instagram, and you can find the show at Tannins and Tunes on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And don't forget to email us at tannins@gmail.com with any shows that you want us to do or questions that you have, or if you just like want to say hey and be really supportive.
Remember, we're still doing our mom carrier
system. Yes, we're doing our mom carrier system. So if you have a message that you want to send to your mom, we will say it on the air.
Right.
Or just to our moms.
If you want to talk to my mom, if you want to talk to Janet M. Robertson, by all means, she would love it.
Yep. And if you don't forget that if you review us on iTunes, that we will donate $1 towards fire relief in the Napa Valley. And that those reviews and subscriptions and review or the like button, I don't know what to call it, like the stars, really, really help us.
They help us.
They really do. We're on both Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. And is that it? Did I hit all the things?
I think you hit all the things.
I think that's it.
I just like
that's all the
thank
things.
Thanks for listening, and it kind of is just on you. Like
totally. Tell us what you think.
Yeah.
Don't be out in the void. Matt, thank you so much
for coming in.
This was so much fun.
Oh my
goodness.
This
was great.
Is there going to be a show about Tannins and Tunes?
Yeah, definitely. It's coming out tomorrow.
Yes! Okay.